Turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 20. This is a familiar passage of Scripture for many folks. While you're turning there, I have this little... I'm going to go Joel Osteen and start with a good joke. Jacob was age 92 and Mary was age 89, and they were both living in Fort Myers, Florida. They were both widowed, living in assisted living facility, and they decided to get married. They go for a stroll. They're discussing their wedding plans. On the way of this stroll and discussing their wedding plans, they pass a drugstore. They walk in. Jacob says, "Are you the pharmacist or the owner?" He says, "Yes, I'm the owner." He says, "Good." He says, "We're about to get married. Now, I just want to know a few things." He says, "Go ahead." He says, "Do you sell heart medication?" He says, "Yes." He says, "Do you sell medication for circulation?" He says, "We have all kinds of that kind of medicine." He says, "Do you have any medicine for rheumatism?" He says, "Absolutely." He says, "Do you sell any medication for memory problems and arthritis?" And he says, "We have a large variety of that type of medication." He says, "What about vitamins, sleeping pills, Geritol?" "Absolutely." He says, "Do you have anything for heartburn and indigestion?" "Why, we sure do. We have all kinds of that stuff." "Do you sell wheelchairs, walkers, and canes?" "Well, yes, we have all that." He says, "What about adult diapers?" He says, "Sure." He says, "Why are you asking all these questions?" He says, "Mary and I are planning on getting married. We're wanting to make our registry here." You have to be a certain age to appreciate that one, don't you? All right. On to more serious stuff. This is a mess. This is a good second part to our Sunday school lesson. If you were here for the Sunday school lesson, it was about suffering. And I want to preach on the idea or the truth of peaks and valleys today that we have in our lives. And I'm going to read from 1 Kings chapter 20, and I'm going to ask you to stand. I'm going to read about 8 verses or so as we read God's Word. I want you to stand as we read this in 1 Kings chapter 20. Begin reading at verse 23. "And the servants of the king of Syria said unto him, Their gods are gods of the hills. Therefore they were stronger than we. But let us fight against them in the plain or valley, and surely we shall be stronger than they. And do this thing, take the kings away, every man out of his place, and put captains in their rooms or in their place. And number an army like the army that you have lost, horse for horse, chariot for chariot, and we will fight against them in the plain." And that means in the low places. "And surely we shall be stronger than they." And he hearkened unto their voice and did so. And it came to pass at the return of the year that Ben-Hadad numbered the Syrians and went up to Aphek to fight against Israel. And the children of Israel were numbered and were all present and went against them. And the children of Israel pitched before them like two little flocks of kids. But the Syrians filled the country. And there came a man of God and spake unto the king of Israel and said, Thus saith the Lord. Because the Syrians have said, The Lord is the God of the hills, but he is not the God of the valleys. Therefore will I deliver all this great multitude into thine hand, and you shall know that I am the Lord. And they pitched one over against the other 7 days. And so it was that in the seventh day the battle was joined, and the children of Israel slew of the Syrians 100,000 footmen in one day. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. Lord, I am so thankful, Father, to feel your presence here today, Lord, to be with God's people in God's house. What a privilege, Lord, it is to stand behind this sacred desk, read from the sacred book, Lord, and deliver what you've laid on my heart. Would you anoint me today? Would you speak to our hearts? Lord, I just pray that this message today, Lord, would be preached with clarity, with compassion, Lord, with the power of the Holy Spirit, and I pray that it will find listening ears, and receptive hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Peaks and valleys, mountaintops and valleys. Life is filled with both. We love the mountaintops, and throughout the Word of God, we can find so many exciting examples of accounts that have happened on mountaintops. Let me give you just a few. It was on Mount Moriah in Genesis chapter 22 that Abraham was asked to go and offer up his only son, his son of promise, Isaac. He was asked to offer him up. And on that mountain, I believe Abraham experienced what I would call the victory of surrender. It was on Mount Horeb that Moses was called before a burning bush and communed with God from a burning bush and experienced what I would call the victory of obedience. It was on Mount Sinai that Moses experienced God's presence when he was up there receiving the law from God. And he says to God, "Show me your glory." And God said up there, he said, "I'll hide you in the cleft of the rock, and there you will see my hinder parts." And when Moses came down, the Bible says that he literally glowed because he had been so close to God. It was on Mount Carmel, a mountain named Carmel, that Elijah experienced answered prayer when he prayed 63 words against the forces of Baal. 850 Baal prophets prayed all day and never received an answer. But Elijah prayed 63 words and God answered by fire. It was on a mountain called Olivet where Christ told his disciples to tarry at Jerusalem until that you are endued with power from on high. And he went up and a cloud received him out of their sight. And it was on that mountain that angels stood by and told the disciples, "Ye men of Galilee, why are you standing here gazing? This same Jesus that you see going away is coming again in like manner as you see him go." They got the promise of a return. And it was on Mount Hermon, and I like this, and I saved it for last. It was on Mount Hermon that Peter, James, and John were taken up with Christ. And it was on that mountain that Christ was transfigured before their eyes, communing with Elijah and Moses. And it was on that mountain that they heard the voice of God that said, "This is my beloved Son. Hear him." And let me tell you, Peter said, "Lord, let's build three tents and stay here for a while, because up here we are very happy to be." Isn't that the way it is? When you're on the mountaintop, you don't want to leave, do you? We have those experiences in our services sometimes within the church. You know, sometimes we have one of those, what I call barn burners, you know, where it just seems like the glory of God falls and, you know, we just feel his presence and there's not a dry eye and people are testifying and singing and God just takes over the place. Isn't that good when God just takes over? Hey, that's good. And you know what? We, in those times, we say to ourselves, we don't want this thing. We want to stay here for a while. We love it when we have a mountaintop experience in the church service. We love it when we have mountaintop experiences in our personal lives. And we could, you know, we could name them just a few. We have, you know, you have a, you could have a great vacation and that was a mountaintop experience. You could have a graduation and that is a mountaintop experience. A marriage, mountaintop experience. You know, get a job promotion, mountaintop experience. Get a nice raise, mountaintop experience. I mean, you know, things that go our way, and it seems like when things are going well, we call those peaks in our lives. Those are times when things are going well and things are going good. And certainly we like the mountaintop experiences. But I want to call your attention to the valley. Because here's what I want to tell you. You see, if you have sunshine and warm breezes all the time, you know what you end up with? A desert. You see, we must have rain or there will be a drought. And in our lives, there are going to be times when we have valleys. There are going to be times when we go through situations and circumstances that if we had our druthers, we would druther not be there. Amen? If we could plan our lives, we certainly would plan our lives around those valleys where we wouldn't have to experience problems, say, in relationships, problems in finances. It could be medical problems. It could be a bad diagnosis. It could be the loss of a job. And ultimately, it could even be the loss of a loved one. When we look back and we say to ourselves, those were some of the lowest points in our life. And we certainly suffered in those points. Well, I got two things, two objectives here today, and I want to just tell you, first of all, here's what I want to tell you. I want to tell you a few things about the valley. That's my first objective. I want you to know a few things about the valley. Number one, now listen. Valleys are unavoidable. Valleys are unavoidable in our lives. You know, I visit a lot of hospitals, and I joke about it, but it's so true. It seems like hospitals are either just finishing an expansion program, in an expansion program, or planning to start an expansion program. It seems like that's the one industry that seems to constantly be expanding. Would you agree with that? I mean, if you go to hospitals, they're always building up. You know, valleys are like that. You're either in one, you just come out of one, or brace yourself because you're getting ready to get into one. Valleys are part of the terrain of life. Amen? We are going to go through valleys. Listen, after the mountaintop comes the valley. Job 5:7 says this, man is born of trouble as sparks fly upward. As you watch them sparks go upward, know this, Job said, man is born for trouble. It is coming in your life. It'll come in any way that you can imagine. It is coming. Secondly, dark valleys that come our way are unpredictable. You never know when they're coming. Dale mentioned in his Sunday school lesson about a flat tire, and I was thinking as he said that, I don't know about you, but I've never had an opportune time for a flat tire. Have you? I mean, I've never sat down and go, well, if I'm going to get a flat, this would be a good time to get one. Flat tires come when you least expect them, and they come at the most inopportune times. That's just the way they are. That's the same way it is with valleys. They are unpredictable. There never is a good time to come. And it seems like at times, now listen to this, the interval between the mountaintop experience and the valley can be short-lived. Now think about this. Jesus on Palm Sunday was at the peak of his popularity. I mean, he's entering in Jerusalem and people are waving palm leaves and shouting, Hosanna to the King, and you know, all these wonderful praises and accolades on Sunday. But 5 days later on Good Friday, they are nailing him to a tree. Boy, that's a short-lived mountaintop, isn't it? I'm telling you, and think about this. I went over this morning just to kind of clarify it in my mind, and something that really kind of stuck out to me this morning about Job. If you read in the book of Job and you read chapter 1 from verses 13 to 22, that you get the gist of what happened in Job's life. And as near as I can figure it, it happened in one day. You all know the story of Job. I mean, when you think of suffering, we think of Job. And in Job's life, you know, things are going well. He's a godly man. He prays for himself. And the Bible says that he does what fathers should do. He prays for his children as well. And he even goes so far as to offer sacrifice on their behalf just in case there's something in their life that has not been accounted for. Now, that's a godly father. Amen? We can take a lesson from that. But in his life, when things are going well, he's on the mountain. It says this, in around verse 23 it starts, and it says this. A servant comes to him and says, Job, it says, on a day, a servant came and says, Job, says, the Sabians fell, and they struck the servants and took some of your flock. As he was speaking, the Bible says, another one comes. And he says, Job, the fire of God fell, and it's destroyed some servants, and this was lost. And as he spake, it says, another one comes and says, Job, the Chaldeans came and they killed servants and they took all your camels. And as he spake, the Bible says, another one come and said, Job, I've got bad news. All of your children were gathered together in one place and a wind came and blew a tree down or blew something and the whole structure collapsed and every one of them were killed. You think about that. One right after another, right after another. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been in a place where it seems like when one thing goes wrong, here goes something else, and then right after that, something else is going wrong? Listen, they're unpredictable. Sometimes the interval between mountaintop experiences and the valley is short-lived. And sometimes they come in rapid succession, one after another. Thirdly, now write this down. If you're writing down, write this one down. Valleys are impartial. You see, Jesus said it like this. He said in Matthew 5:45 that God causes the sun to shine on the just and the unjust, rain to come on just and the unjust. It happens to both of us. You see, you can't take the idea that I'm a child of God and so therefore I am immune to valleys. And you know, there's some what I call prosperity preachers who preach that kind of thing. You know, that if you're a Christian, that nothing bad should happen to you. And if something bad does happen to you, then there must be something in your life that has brought this on. That is not theologically accurate. Jesus said it himself that we're in this world and rain comes on the just and the unjust as well. And we, listen, that valleys, troubles, storms, adversity is impartial. And we are in this world and we are subject to what goes on in this world. Now listen, doesn't matter how good you might think you be or how bad you might think you are or how much money you have or don't have or any of that matters, because we, listen, are subject to trouble. Now, let me say this. There are some things that we do. There are some actions and choices that we make in life that bring on certain results because of our behavior. You see, the Bible says that as you sow, you're going to reap. If you sow to a certain lifestyle, you can expect certain things to come your way. But you see, even that has no rhyme or reason when it comes to sickness, when it comes to suffering, when it comes to loss. Because there are many, I know many good people. I've stood beside many good people, good men, good women, who love the Lord, who serve the Lord. And terrible illnesses came on them. Terrible illnesses came on their family. Terrible accidents happened. You see, valleys are impartial. That's why it is so important for you and I to live a life that is pleasing to God and that we are ready to meet God. Number four, valleys. Now, starts getting better here. We've been through the valley. We hit the bottom there, but we're going to start coming out now. Valleys are temporary. Amen? You know what lies on either side of a valley? A mountaintop. Now, you hillbillies know that, right? There's a hill on both sides of the valleys. On either side. Listen, valleys are not dead-end caves with no light at the end. Valleys are merely temporary. And if we keep on following the Lord, we can determine and know this for sure, that we are coming out on the other side. 1 Peter 5:10, we didn't get to this in our Sunday school lesson yet, but he says this: "But the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after," now listen to this, "you have suffered a while, makes you perfect and establishes you and strengthens you and settles you." You get that? Peter said, after you suffer for a while. Listen, I don't know about you, but I know this about my wife, that 5 minutes in a dentist chair is like an eternity to her. She hates the dentist more than me, so I'm using her. But you ever feel that way when you get in a dentist chair? Man, you can sit in the dentist chair like 10 or 15 minutes, and depending on what they're doing. Now, if they're doing root canal, 5 minutes of root canal is like 2 years of regular living, right? I mean, it seems like an eternity. Listen, you can live 80, 90 years in this life, and you can have troubles, ups and downs, and go through some of the worst things imaginable, but know this, it is just a temporary proposition, because thank God joy comes in the morning. Listen, even if you live 80, 90 years down here, what is that in the scope of eternity? And for the child of God, valleys are temporary. We must remember that. They are only temporary places. Number five, valleys have a purpose. Suffering has purpose. Tribulation has purpose. This was in our Sunday school lesson last week, and I'm going to refer to it again in 1 Peter chapter 6, or chapter 1, verse 6. Wherein you greatly rejoice that though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations or trials. He says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Know this, every trial, every adversity, every problem that you go through in this life has a purpose. God is working in your life. Can I ask you something? Do you have that perspective in your life? When you go through a valley, when you go through suffering, when you're facing the biggest obstacle in all of your life, can you look at this and know, listen, this has a purpose in my life. This is only temporary because I'm trusting the one who is eternal. This has purpose. God is working. He is making your faith stronger in the valley. That's what he does. In the trials and adversities that you come across in life, these make us stronger. That's why rain has to fall. That's why there has to be some adversity in our life. If everything was always peaches and cream, listen, we would be weak Christians. Think about this. Think about Martha and Mary. Think about what they went through. Think about how they went through the valley and suffered the loss of their brother Lazarus. Now, I know that, you know, and you know that Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. We know that. Can you imagine those moments leading up to that? Can you imagine that those 4 days leading up to when he was actually resurrected? They're hurting. I mean, they're brokenhearted. They're going through a time of loss. They're suffering, you know, what only those go through that know how that feels. And listen, their faith was tried. Their belief was tried. Martha exhibited that when she talked to Jesus. Lord, if you'd have been here, this wouldn't have happened. You failed us. You didn't do what we thought you ought to do. Have you ever felt that about God? God, you didn't do what I thought you should do. You didn't show up in time. But listen, he's always on time. Even when it appears that he's 4 days late. And at 4 days late, he still could raise Lazarus from the grave. Listen, can you imagine how their faith was tried and how on the other side of that trial, their faith came forth purified and stronger for the Lord. Here's the truth. And this sometimes is hard for us to accept, for any of us. You see, God's goal in our life is not to make us comfortable. Do you believe that? God's main goal is to build character in our lives. His main goal is to prepare us for eternity. You know what else? You know what other purpose? Valleys drive us to our knees. When you go through a situation in your life that you know is beyond your control, a lot of times people will say this, and we may even say it to other people while we're in this place of suffering, while we're in this valley. Well, all we can do is pray. Have you ever said that? Well, all we can do is pray. Well, let me tell you something. Don't minimize prayer. Don't relegate prayer to the bottom shelf, the last thing that you try. Because valleys have a purpose. One, to make our faith stronger. Number two, to make our prayer life stronger. When we're in the valley, when we're going through suffering, hit your knees. Stay on your knees. Call on God. Listen, if you have to say, it's okay to say, Lord, why? You know, what is the purpose? Ask Him what the purpose is. Ask Him what He's doing in your life. It's okay to ask Him. But listen, I don't necessarily think that we should think, why is this happening to us? Because we need to remember, all of us are going to go through valleys. You see, valleys can be a place of victory. Ask David. You see, it was in the valley of Elah that he showed up with some provisions for his brothers. And he saw a big old giant named Goliath come out and put a challenge out to the armies of Israel, and every one of them hiding behind rocks and cowering at the presence of this giant.
asked David. Listen, as he stood before the giant, listen, in the valley of Elah, somebody much bigger than him, but he said, you're coming at me. Oh, get up in all your armor, but I stand before you in the name of the God of Israel, and he will deliver you. Whatever giant you're facing, whatever mountain you're on, or whatever valley you're in, listen, God can bring victory in the valley. David had victory. Ask the children of Israel. God delivered them because he says, in this passage, they had defeated them. Israel had beat them on the mountaintop a year prior. And they said, well, that's easy. We'll get them in the valley because their God's not a God of the valley. Verse 28 said, God says, I'm going to show them that I'm not only with you on the mountaintop, but I'm with you in the valley. You see, valleys can be places of victory. Well, that's what I want you to know about valleys. Now I want to close this message with this. Four principles to remember while you're in the valley. Four principles to remember. This is what I want you to take away. All right, number one, refuse to panic. You know, sometimes when something is told us that really slaps us in the face with a wet rag, it's not difficult to panic. You know, it's not difficult to just go off the deep end and panic. But I'm going to tell you something. When sheep panic, you know what happens? They run over the edge. They step in holes. Bad things happen when the sheep panic. David said this. He said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. What's the next words? I will fear no evil. David said, I might be in the lowest and worst place in my life, but I'm not going to panic. You know why? Because the Lord is my shepherd. Amen? Is the Lord your shepherd? A man tells a story about being on an ocean vessel, and they hit a storm, and it was tossing the ship terribly, and many of the passengers began to get worried, and they were ordered to stay in the quarters and stay in this one area while they tried to get through the storm. But one passenger got brave, and against the orders, he made his way to the pilot house. And as he got to the pilot house, he saw the pilot in there manning all the controls and navigating through. And that pilot happened to look back and he saw the passenger, and the pilot smiled as he drove the ship, and he smiled at this passenger, and this passenger made his way back to the other passengers. And as he got there, they began to inquire, what did he say? What did he say? What do you think? What's going on? He said, listen, he said, I have seen the face of the pilot and he is smiling. All is well. Let me tell you, look to Jesus. I want to tell you, look to him, thank God. All is well. All is well. No need to panic. Remember this, in the valley, not only refuse to panic, but remember his presence. Amen? Boy, I always tell folks, and I pray this way many times, you know, God says this, that he is a very present help in a time of need or a time of trouble. Break that down and look at that. You know what that's telling us? That when we need him the most, when we are in that time of need, when we are in that time of trouble, guess what? God is at his closest. You don't believe that? Ask Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Amen. Ask them as they were thrown into the fiery furnace, and they looked, and there were four men loose and dancing around. And they said, wait a minute, did we not throw three men into the furnace? And I see four, and one's like the Son of God. Let me tell you, God is with us in the valley. What was the rest of that verse in Psalm 23, verse 4? I will fear no evil. Why? Because you are with me. Refuse to panic. Remember his presence. God is with us in the valley. Number three, rely on his protection. Rely on God's protection. David said, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. And then he said what? Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Rely on his protection. You know, I was thinking about the panic idea and how when Jesus was on the boat with the disciples and they were headed to the other side, and he had fallen asleep and they had gotten into a storm, and he seemingly was oblivious to the storm that they were in. And he was on board with them. He sure wasn't panicked. And they're getting worried and they're getting fearful and they cry out, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" And Jesus woke up and simply said three words, "Peace, be still." You see, rely on His protection. Last one, principles to remember in the valley. Remember this. I want you to get this. There's hope in the valley. And I got to read a verse to you in closing here. It's in Hosea chapter 2, verse 15. Hosea says this, God speaking through Hosea, He says, "I will give her vineyards from thence and the valley of Achor a door of hope." For the valley of Achor, now the word Achor in Hebrew means this, trouble. Do you get that? Now notice this. He says in the valley, let's put trouble there, for the valley of trouble, for a door of hope, and she shall sing there as in the days of her youth. Now, I want to apply that to us in closing. God says in the valley of Achor, in the valley where there's trouble in your life, it is there that I will make a door of hope. Now, you might find yourself in the valley of Achor today. You might be in a place of trouble. You might be in a place of adversity. Maybe that's where you're at. And you know something? Sometimes God uses trouble and adversity in the lives of unbelievers to get them to enter that door of hope. Do you believe that? See, I get calls all the time. I got a call this week from a lady. Her husband, he came here one time and he considers himself an agnostic, and she comes occasionally, and she called and she told me that her husband was in bad shape and wanted me to visit him. And you know what? I get calls like that all the time. People that are in the valley of Achor, they're in trouble. It could be, you know, a bad diagnosis. It could be they're in ICU. It could be that the doctors are telling them they only got a short time. It could be many things. But it's in that valley of trouble, that valley of Achor, that sometimes God gets people's attention. My suggestion is don't wait to get to know Him in the valley of trouble. Get to know Him now. Get to understand that on the mountaintop, He is with us. In the valley, He is with us. Do you find yourself in a valley today? Peaks and valleys, we love those mountaintops. Those valleys can be very trying in our lives, but it's in those valleys God has purpose. What is God doing in your life? And if you find, let's get a song. And if you find yourself there today, listen, remember, He is with you. A story tells about a young boy. He was probably 8 or 9 years old, and fire had engulfed this apartment. It was a couple-story apartment, and his dad had gone out the bottom, and his son had gone on the top, and he was on the top porch, and smoke was coming out, and his dad is standing at the bottom, and he says, "Jump, jump, I'll catch you." And he says, "But Daddy, I can't see you. There's too much smoke, I can't see you." And the father says, "That's okay, because I can see you. Jump." God has His eyes on you. And you may feel today that there's some real problems in your life. Lean on the Lord in this valley. Trust Him. There's purpose. There's purpose in this valley. Rely on His presence. Trust His protection. Don't forget that He's with you. Let's pray. Father, we come to You in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank You for Your presence today. We thank You for our time of worship, for the opportunity to gather with Your children today and worship You, and to get into the Word of God, Lord. How precious is this Word? How powerful is this Word? May we receive it today into our hearts. And maybe there's some here today, Lord, someone here today I know needed to hear this. You laid this on my heart in such a strong way. I pray for that one who is in a valley. I pray for that one that finds himself in the valley of Achor. There's trouble in their life. There's problems. May they find the door of hope this morning. May they rejoice as in the days of the youth. May there be some joy in their lives, even in the valley. And there can be, Lord, when we rely on you, when we remember, trust your protection, rely on your presence, and claim your promises, Lord. You promised us that you'll never leave us, never forsake us. Lord, may they find hope today in the valley. Touch our hearts, speak to us today, in Jesus' name, amen.